I know a lot about falling. I'm good at it. As a result, I also know something about getting back up. I know a lot about stumbling, and as a result, I've learned to pick up my feet. But what I don't know much of anything about is flying. With the gift of the Holy Spirit, faith, it seems to me it's not just trusting because of my experience, but it's like learning to fly. You open your wings and push off. Before you knew you could fly in order to believe you could fly, you trusted God's word that says you can fly. You trusted His word because He's good for His word. And if God said you can fly, then you can fly, before you ever proved you could fly. Now, that right there is faith.
Faith.
You may think that's weird. Okay, but listen. Everything about this world we live in is making a minute-by-minute attempt to rule every thought pattern, influencing even the patterns we don't know we've got. But we who are in Christ are people of faith, you know. Or at least we're supposed to be. This evening's topic is from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. The gift of the Holy Spirit, faith.
Faith.
With everything within us, we hold firm to our faith, even when it seems our situation isn't going to work out like we thought. We still choose to believe and to trust God. We hold firmly to our faith. Now, hear this. Faith is a noun, and believe is the action verb derivative of faith. You get it? Faith is what you've got, and believing is what you do with it. Now, if you think about that, it probably seems a little absurd. Above all things visible, all things experienced and tangible, we chose to worship and follow someone we've never actually seen, who gives us promises of life more abundantly, a life we haven't typically led, and the promise of a home we've never been to. We are banking our entire life in time and eternity on things we've never witnessed. We've never seen Jesus, at least most of us haven't. We've never seen God. We've never seen the Holy Spirit. We've never seen heaven, and most of us have never walked around heaven to come back and tell of the glories. Don't get me wrong, there apparently are people who have, but by far and large, most of us have not. For most of us, we don't have eyewitness accounts of the gulf between heaven and hell, or God and the devil, but yet here we are preferring faith in Christ over a very tangible and in-your-face world system which declares that itself is the only thing real and God is not. It seems to me it would be good to talk about simple faith as well as faith to do the miraculous.
Faith.
I'd bet most of us would be hard-pressed to give a decent explanation concerning what faith is, much less supernatural faith. We love to play in the supernatural, but I wonder, do we know much about the things we handle which God gives to us? So much about faith, as the world views it, has to do with seeing.
Seeing.
We tend to believe things after we have witnessed them, and even then we doubt. There's an old saying, seeing is believing. But how do we deal with that when so much of what we're being asked to believe we have not seen? I think it should read, believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. When we believe, we begin to see, and the more we see of the Lord, the more we believe. Although it is a fact, just because people see doesn't mean they believe anything. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts. Cool jazz and contemplative conversation broadcast semi-live from the deck area of a rural cafe which overlooks the long green field down to the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is pleasant.
Come on, do it.
There is a contrast to draw here concerning the gift of faith and faith by experience. Most everyone has faith of some sort on some level about something. But then, there are people who believe no one and nothing. Friends, for sure, those who are faithless are also people with no hope. For if you find faith, hope was there first. And if there's no faith in anything, hope is surely in frighteningly short supply. Come and go with me on this, and don't hang up and just quit hearing. I'll be right back. People who say they don't believe in anything, saying there is no God and there is nothing in life but themselves, are wrong. Just straight out wrong. They actually do have faith in a lot of things, but just don't realize it. Faith, to some degree, is pretty normal, except it's a certain kind of faith. When you turn on the switch for the lights in the room, that is a certain kind of faith. You don't know the lights are going to come on. And when they don't come on, you are typically surprised. It's a shock. And then you're disappointed a little when what you thought would happen didn't. You don't absolutely know those lights will come on. You haven't got the slightest idea. When you go to the drugstore to get some prescribed medication, you don't know what the pharmacist is giving you is precisely what was ordered. You haven't got the slightest clue that what you're getting is actually what you're told it is. Yet, we trust we are being told the truth. How do you know what you're being told to take 4 times per day is not really some deadly chemical? But yet, we take it as if we know with all certainty. Now, I've been thinking about faith before the topic came up for this week's program. Recently, my wife and I flew on an airplane to a distant city to visit. As I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, somewhere up front, Through a narrow passage behind a mysterious door is a person who supposedly knows how to get the plane safely off the ground and land again. I realized the plane could fly on autopilot for the most part, but I'd like to think somewhere in front there's a responsible human being. I never saw the pilot or co-pilot. We don't text and haven't done lunch. I've never seen that person. True, I heard someone speak over the intercom concerning a flight plan and maybe something about the weather, but nowhere does it say the person who is speaking is actually on the plane.
Listen.
We got on that plane because the flight board said it went to St. Louis. If we're told the plane is going to St. Louis, we assume airline folks know what they're doing, that they won't accidentally put in the coordinates for Phoenix, Arizona, or just fly in a big circle for hours and land right where they took off for a big joke.
Ha ha, joke's on you.
We assume they know what they're doing.
Come on.
We often put our life in the hands of doctors. In general, most of us don't really know that person. And if you have surgery, largely, you don't know anybody in the operating room. And to be honest, most of us have no idea what goes on in that operating room. Yet, you go in there. Someone you don't know says, "Take your clothes off." And you do. They say, "Put this gown on," and then they sedate you. You don't know what they're sedating you with. You didn't test it to see if it's the truth. Shortly, presto changeo, a few hours later you wake up and you're in recovery. You just assumed all those people who you don't know are trustworthy. They saw you naked. They gave you drugs. They cut you open and sewed you up. You don't know them, and it's highly likely neither have they ever known you, but yet we have faith they are all competent and did all the right stuff. Those scenarios are a kind of faith.
It is faith based on experience.
We have experience that the pharmacy doesn't act irresponsibly. We have experience doctors are certified and there is a line of people in agencies, which most of us have never seen, making sure there is some accountability. By experience, we sort of trust the FDA is watching. In this scenario, many will say they are exercising faith. But it is small faith.
Come on.
It is faith by experience, which is very different than faith in God, whom we have trusted our time and eternity to, with absolutely no personal prior experience.
Faith.
God-given faith is not the same as the worldly idea of faith, which says something is possible, hopefully true, but it's not a certainty. In the last years, there has arisen a resurgence in interest concerning the supernatural. Kids' cartoons are no longer kids' cartoons. Watch and see for yourself. Most of the cartoons involve superpowers being used or invoked somehow, with the implication that it is the person who is supernatural and possesses powers beyond regular people. Also, it seems a lot of people are interested in demons, witches, spiritualists, and other occult phenomena. Here's a good question to answer to ourselves. Why is it easier for people to believe in the power of the devil and evil than it is to believe in God? Those demonic images seen in horror movies? Where did people get the idea that's how it all looks? Who told them that? Where did they get their information? As pertaining to faith, one big difference between natural faith as the world sees it and the Holy Spirit gift of faith is between natural faith, which is bound by the limits of this world, in contrast to the Holy Spirit gift of faith, which is above and beyond the reach of what is found in simple nature. Our faith in Christ is supernatural in and of itself, without even speaking of the gift of faith for miracles. It is above and beyond the reach of what is found in the world around us. Because Jesus enables us to have faith, we believe. And there, just like in 1 John 5, right there is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith.
Faith.
There are many interesting things to understand about God's idea of faith. I think it would be good to differentiate between hope and faith. Simply put, hope is the anticipation of becoming and overcoming. Hope sees the future and says, one day or someday. Nowhere did Jesus ever say, your hope has healed you. He said, your faith has healed you, according to Luke 8:48 and 17:19. Faith is trusting God and believing Him at His word. The gift of faith sweeps us into trusting God for the miraculous. We didn't see God's faithfulness and then believe it. We took Him at His word. We believed Him before we saw His evidence. At the heart of faith is the idea of certainty and firmness. Faith means not seeing in order to believe, but resting in the strong arms of a parent who supports the child. The very root Hebrew word for faith is the word amen or amen, which we use often, meaning truly, steady-handed, on good footing, and high fidelity. And high fidelity means being true to the source. The Lord and His faithfulness is the pillar which we, the children of God, rely on. The same Hebrew word used of believing and trusting God is the same word used in 2 Kings 18, verse 16, pillars, which paints a picture of faith as a pillar which supports the house. And maybe that is what is alluded to in Isaiah 7, 9, when Isaiah spoke the word of the Lord, saying, if you will not believe and trust the Lord, then you haven't got a leg to stand on. My paraphrase. Unless we stand firm in our faith in God, we are unstable and on poor footing, or not a leg to stand on, as Eugene Peterson puts it. In John 11:43, Jesus called out, Lazarus, come out! Even though Lazarus had been dead and was decomposing in a hole in the ground, life came back to his body and he was restored. He came out still wrapped in the grave clothes, only now, by the power of the Lord, he was alive. Many believed in Jesus that day, but in an unbelievable display of hard-heartedness and overwhelming blindness, there were others who ran to tell the Jewish leaders what happened, like a bunch of childish tattletales, possibly for the reason of gaining favor with the local leadership.
Rabbi, Rabbi, Jesus is down there raising the dead. What will you do, Rabbi? This is really scary.
Just go home to your family, little flock, and we will take care of it. Lock your doors and windows, and rest assured we've got it all handled. Thank you for your time. We will consider your report carefully.
Rather than acknowledge their unstable ways, they renewed their efforts to kill Jesus. To me, that is simply amazing. Jesus told Martha in John 11:40 that if she believed, she would see the glory of God. From what he said, we can surmise that believing results in seeing. Verses 45 and 46 reveals there were others who witnessed the same incredible miracle and did not believe. Seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing because, again, if we don't stand firm on our faith in Christ, the truth is, we don't have a leg to stand on. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Let's briefly go back to the statement of Jesus to Martha in John 11:40. Jesus said if she believed, she would see the glory of God. The Hebrew word for glory carries the idea of weight, honor, and heaviness, referring to God's faithfulness, His love, reputation, and honor, His overall greatness. The glory, His weighty presence, is one of the manifestations of His attributes. Friends, although the weight of God is a topic for a future time, in short, if you possess Christ as your Savior, you also have weight by way of the glorified Christ in your heart. Without Jesus, we are the opposite of weighty. We are weightless to accomplish anything. We have the strength of a shadow. Like Lazarus, A dead man with ongoing corruption, cut off from the life of God, with no power to raise himself from the dead. Anyone in Christ has weight, and anyone that is cursed is weightless.
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 Lighter than shadows, with no power to do anything other than be a slave to this world.
Lighter than shadows.
To be blessed and possessing weight. Hebrew, kabod, in the New Testament means to have weight, to clothe and enable with power for success, prosperity, and longevity, and so on. It is contrasted with the word curse, Hebrew, kalal, meaning to esteem lightly, weightless. Faith in Christ gives us weight for influence and impact. And, by the way, you can have influence, and you can have impact, but you can't have control. Think about that one. I believe John saw the idea of the gift of faith as not only a starting point, but also an ongoing and growing endeavor. I also believe Paul didn't see what he mentions in 1 Corinthians 12 as just the average faith of any believer. He saw it was miracle-making, wonder-working, supernatural faith, which is possible to every believer as the Holy Spirit provides. According to the latter part of John 1, the disciples already believed, but in chapter 2 we read that Jesus manifested his glory and they believed. Believing, they saw, and seeing, they believed. Their faith was initial and also ongoing. And then Paul speaks of faith that is beyond the beyond. To me, that sounds a lot like 2 Corinthians 3:18, saying, "We are changed from glory to glory." Paul is speaking of more than just faith as a doctrine, but faith for the miraculous. And I believe that faith for the miraculous is a precursor to the working of many other gifts.
Faith.
The world says the universe is made of something which always was. God says he created the universe from nothing. A young man asked me why I believe that. The first thing I thought was because God and the Bible say so, and that is the foundation of our faith.
Because he said so.
Not simply because we hoped it was true, lost in our general uncertainty, and only by experience did we believe it more or less. Then, to top that off, the Lord goes on to say that there is faith to do the miraculous on top of regular saving faith. Can you see the difference?
Faith.
The fact that we believe God and take him to be faithful and true is, in itself, supernatural.
Supernatural.
Our faith is because of God and not based simply on events that are experiential. You know, even if people don't believe God, it doesn't mean he isn't who he is. It just means they don't believe him and don't have a leg to stand on. We believe him against all odds. We believe him when things don't go well. We believe him when what we thought would happen didn't. We believe him when life is good and when it's not. There is the substance of certainty in us which testifies of God's reliability, causing us to be sure, and we know that in him we are established.
Faith.
We are stable and always have a leg to stand on because he is stable and is firm in his footing.
More than natural.
Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is a substance. It is the evidence of things not seen. As much as my flesh may scream that what I believe is not real, my heart says my faith is strong and sturdy. The Greek word for substance means the concrete essence or reality and assurance. And the word evidence means the proof and conviction. Now here's a sticky statement. Faith is our woven together material composing the concrete essence and conviction of reality. Our faith is real and productive, and according to Hebrews 11:1, our faith is actually the greater reality. It is no rainbow illusion or fancy daydream. It is the reality of all realities, so much so, our lives have been reshaped around our faith, causing us to align with the divine, properly reflecting our God and King. Friends, the kingdom of heaven is more real than this world. The greater includes the lesser.
Faith.
By our faith, we are assured and trust in things we don't possess so far, but yet we're certain of the things of God with incredible conviction which we've never seen. Our faith is beyond natural. It is supernatural because normal, worldly faith is the ability to trust based on experience, and even that is sketchy. We are honoring Christ and telling our kids about heaven, the great throne, and the sea of witnesses, but most of us have never been there. We're abiding by the voice of the Lord, and we love Jesus, whom most of us have never seen. That is substantial faith.
Faith.
And it is such a deep conviction, it has changed our lives, our character, and we are inspired to share it with others, even to our death. Believing God to live as we live, and then believing God to do the miraculous, that is more than normal. That is the gift of faith, which is only given by God. Faith is supernatural in and of itself. It is faith completely uncommon to unredeemed mankind. Sometimes when faced with extraordinary circumstances, suddenly there is in us more than our regular faith in God. It is over the top trust and assurance the Lord will do and succeed far more than we imagined. In those moments, it isn't just a trumped-up thing. It's not something we have to work up to. It is a God thing which settles into our heart, more real and certain than we could ever have imagined before. Having faith and employing the Holy Spirit gift of faith feeds our ability to be consistent and repeatable. It's not only a noun, something with substance, but also an adjective which describes how we are, as in faithful.
Faithful.
Our faith doesn't save us by way of its own special merit because it's so special, but by the merits of Jesus, who is the object of our faith. The last letter of the Hebrew word for faith portrays it not as something occasional, but habitual. It means faith has become our second nature. The last letter points to the impression righteous faith makes on the Lord, in that we know we cannot please God without faith.
Faithful.
Certain of God's ultimate residence and companionship, He is the infinite, who is present in the finite. And by that second nature due to faith in our hearts, we have a constant upward pointing to the sovereignty of God that is a constant in our lives.
Faithful.
People who have the gift of faith, the longer they live in it, the more it becomes habitual. They can't even imagine functioning differently after a while. Before we knew God, before He drew us to Himself, our inclination was not to believe anything much unless we saw with our own two eyes, and even then we often weren't certain. But then we believed God. We witnessed His faithfulness and reliability. And when we witnessed, we believed, round and round, in an ongoing, growing process, increasing and increasing until our gift of faith overwhelmed our inclination to not believe anyone or anything. The phrase glory to glory comes to mind. Ah, but faith, supernatural faith, as spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12, is hidden in us like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. The more we do it, until eventually that supernatural mode of operation is just the way we are.
Faithful.
I can no more stop being supernatural than I could decide to not look like myself anymore. At the heart of faith is the idea of certainty and firmness, and the sound of faith is the sound you make before you actually make a sound. It's about intent, how you lean in your heart toward God. From faith comes a flowing fountain of wisdom, making us stand upright before God. You and me, we have the same spirit of faith, just like it's written in Psalm 116:10. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. You also believed, and therefore you have spoken.
Faith.
Friends, by faith the glory of God is in us. When we speak, we have weight. And without faith in the Son of God, our words are like voices in a vacuum. And everybody knows sound does not travel in a vacuum. Sound in a vacuum is something so faint it doesn't even cast a shadow. That is us without faith, not a leg to stand on. The supernatural faith God gives us causes us to have weight, to move mountains, impart healing, give life-changing words to others as God gives them to us, to speak prophecy, and to worship and praise with a voice which lifts the room above the din of this world. This is beyond normal, regular church-type faith. It is above and beyond living in certainty. It is the kind of faith Jesus spoke of in Matthew 17:20.
Fides miraculosa, the faith of miracles, and is connected with the operation of miraculous powers.
So, Let's think about this. Where do we get this kind of faith? It's another one of those amazing things we can't buy, can't steal, can't find it in a boutique shop or on aisle 19 at Walmart. What is the fountain and source of it? I well reckon we can all rightly say the source is the Holy Spirit, God. For by grace you are saved through faith. I just know you know that one, Ephesians 2:8. Then it continues, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The faith Paul is talking about isn't just natural, trust your pharmacist sort of faith. It is supernatural. Again,
fides miraculosa, the faith of miracles.
And the wonder of wonders is that God, in His grace, granted you and I that faith. And before it's ever a gift to walk in the miraculous, it's already more faith than the worldly man can exercise. Not just faith that abounds, but faith which super abounds. Now that sounds like something we should all want. Think about it. Now I've got to say it again, we're not only speaking about salvation type faith in general, which is the benefit and provision for all Christians, but wonder-working faith. I purposely spent time speaking about what faith was, as well as the Holy Spirit gift of faith, for the reason that I actually did a little survey. I went out and asked some folks what faith was and what they thought about the gift of faith as Paul spoke of it in 1 Corinthians 12:8. Oddly enough, to my surprise, virtually no one had any reasonable answer beyond the simplest of views. You may think I'm being mean, but get yourself a good definition and then go out and do your own survey. And I highly suspect you will get a long string of similar answers too. Maybe you'll even think things like I thought, like, and we call ourselves people who know God when we actually know so little about Him? What sort of people is this who don't seem to know even the most rudimentary things about what they believe and why? I want my family in Christ to know all about Jesus. I want them to be able to give a good reply for whatever they're asked by anyone. I want them to be the most informed, the most trustworthy, the most honest, and well-educated people on the planet, because we represent, on earth, the greatest, most amazing person in the forever of the universe, Jesus. Now, before you get bent at me, let me add that I realize that's a pretty lofty goal, and the majority of us may not be able to attain such things. But I also don't see why we shouldn't try either.
Faith.
I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts. Cool jazz and contemplative conversation, hopefully inspiring us all to step a little further with Jesus and never being satisfied with simply being low-slung, nameless bunker dwellers just slogging along till we get to the end somehow. God has great things in store, and oh my, what a mighty God we serve. All support is brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, the Fassifern Preparatory School for Girls perched atop the South Hill in the land of the sky. Area 22 guitars, Camp Greystone on the shores of Lake Summit and Tuxedo, which was once featured in Life magazine. Sisters Coffee Company and, of course, Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. All music use is licensed by BMI and was provided by the wonderfully talented Edison West, Pepper Adams, Trevor Gordon Hall, Frank Spaniol, Pat Matheny, Jim Beard, and Cindy Cashdollar. Ask the Lord for supernatural faith. Be audacious in your prayers and ask Him. The Lord loves you and isn't going to make you pay for asking such a thing. Believe God is on your side and ask Him. I can assure you, it'll be quite an adventure. Be strong and courageous and join me again next time, and I'll talk to you later. Amen.